Hey guys, and welcome to another episode of Sip With Me. I'm your host, Ioana Kekatos.
And I'm your host, Aaron Carlson. We'll release an episode for you every Monday morning, which means you can listen to us during your commute, after work workout, or even enjoy a drink with us during your very own Monday night happy hour.
And who doesn't like to have a little fun on a Monday night? Don't forget to subscribe, review, and share our show.
And be sure to follow us on Instagram at sipwithme_ for the latest episode updates, news, and all of your favorite cocktail creations.
Welcome back to another episode of Sip With Me. This week, we're featuring a very special cocktail, the Classic Martini from Epicurus.com in honor of our guest's 21st birthday. It's a chilled gin martini served up in a beautiful cocktail glass, which we think is one of the most sophisticated drinks around and the best way to kick off a night of celebration. To make the Classic Martini, you'll need cracked ice, 2.5 ounces of London dry gin, 1/2 ounce of dry vermouth, a green olive or lemon twist, your choice for garnish, in either a mixing glass or a cocktail shaker filled with ice, you'll combine gin and vermouth. Stir well about 30 seconds and strain into martini glass. Garnish with either a green olive or lemon twist of choice and serve. So grab your classic martini and let's dive into this week's episode.
Welcome back. This week we are in the virtual Sip With Me kitchen, and it is not as nice as the Drew Barrymore show kitchen, but my bagel and jar of peanut butter that I always keep out is going to have to do today. We are joined by the one-of-a-kind Eitan Bernath, a chef, author, activist, entertainer, entrepreneur, and my favorite CEO. So legit, I love it. This is the bio that Ioana and I wanted when we were 20, but best friend Zumba instructors who once pioneered olive oil brownies before it was trendy will have to do. Eitan is known for his magnetic presence and tone of voice, similar to friend of the show, the Korean vegan. He makes you feel special, energized, and always craving your favorite foods. He's been on all the talk shows and done all the things with 3 billion views annually across much of the globe. He is truly an international sensation who started as one of the youngest contestants ever on Food Network's Chopped and later appeared on my family's favorite show, Guy's Grocery Games, where he and his entertainment career really began to sizzle. It's all sizzle and no fizzle in his future, and we are honored to have you. Eitan, welcome to Sip With Me.
Thank you for having me. Quite the intro. Love the little sizzle.
Thank you. I'm really trying.
The effort is appreciated and seen.
Yay. So I guess we have a large following of folks who are on TikTok and follow people who are on the food talk side of TikTok, and people that are really into cooking and food. So I'm sure that many of them know you, but then we also have a side of our audience who loves to discover new people to follow. New creators, and you're like the creator grand supreme. I mean, like, truly, you do everything, and you have the most impressive content, the most impressive bio, the recipes. It's all so slay. We love it. So for those people who maybe are not as familiar with who you are, just give them a little bit of background about what you do, what you're known for, and kind of how you got into the world of cooking.
Yeah, so I grew up in Teaneck, New Jersey, just right out of Manhattan. And I, you know, I was actually a picky eater when I was a little kid. If you told my parents that I was younger that I'd work in food, they would definitely not believe you. But my love of food kind of started around like 8 or 9 years old when I started cooking. It started like very just practically, like I started craving all these foods I saw on the Food Network that I love to watch. And I'd ask my mom to make them. And eventually she's like, Eitan, why don't you try making them? And yeah. I did. I enjoyed it. Since then, like you mentioned, I competed on Chopped when I was 11 years old. I then competed on Guy's Grocery Games a few years after. And around that time, I started creating content online, first with the food blog, doing food photography, releasing recipes, eventually transitioning into video. And from there, you know, was amassing a following across all the different platforms. And, you know, I really had a big amount of growth, in the start of the pandemic, kind of early, late 2019, early 2020, with kind of short form, fast paced cooking videos. And from there, I've expanded on, you know, I post on Instagram, TikTok, Snapchat, YouTube, Pinterest, Twitter, every single platform known to mankind. and I also am a cookbook author. I have a cookbook, 810 Eats the World. That's right on your left or right ear, being held by Bill. And I'm a cookbook author. I also work on the Drew Barrymore Show. I'm the principal culinary contributor on the show. And I also work with a bunch of incredible organizations in the food insecurity space, like the World Food Program, City Harvest, World Central Kitchen. And I love food.
I love it. That's a lot. That's literally like the most of the most. When, like, was there a point in time when, like, on your journey that you realized, like, things were really kind of, like, taking off and that things were getting, like, really big and really serious?
Yeah. So I graduated high school in 2020, during the pandemic. And I think that was kind of a big turning point. You know, I've been working in entertainment and in social media for a bunch of years, and I was earning money, but at that point I had growth, that was very rapid across TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, that became lucrative enough that it could like be a full-time job. And so early on in the pandemic, was kind of the end of my senior year, and it was already this weird time where we were going remote, but also it was the end of senior year, which is always kind of like, you know, once you're in college, kind of everyone drops off. And then at that time, I had lost my grandfather to COVID. He was one of the first people in the United States to pass from COVID in late March 2020. And I like, Not to get the tone lighter, but I felt like a pretty bad depression after that. But my grandpa was always my biggest fan, and like loved my videos. And you know, my family encouraged like, Eitan, like keep making your videos. Like your grandpa would want you to keep making these videos. You know, it would upset him if he knew that his passing stopped you from making these videos. And so I, you know, had to put on some fake smiles for the first few weeks, but you know, I kept making videos, and you know, eventually kind of through faking it a bit in the start, you know, seeing how happy the videos made other people kind of helped myself find my own happiness again. And I had kind of a renewed sense. Cardi the cat just entered the room.
Yes.
We've been waiting.
Cardi, you want to join the podcast? Cardi, no, Cardi has nothing to say. Anyways, what I was saying was I kind of had also a new sense of purpose of, you know, like, you know, trying to live on what my grandfather loved. Mm-hmm. And at that time, I stopped going to school at the end of high school because of my grandfather's passing and the depression episode that I had entered. And then kind of very quickly, my career was growing with that. It was end of senior year. All that to say, I graduated high school, and I took a year after to work on my career. It's kind of like the classic cliche of like, give me a year to pursue my passion. And I just every single day woke up and filmed as many cooking videos as possible and edited as many cooking videos as possible. And after a few months, my mom was like, okay, Eitan, like you are completely taking over the kitchen and making a mess of the house every single day. And we had a film discussion, and it made sense for me to move out. I'm very close with my family. I see them like twice a week, if not more sometimes, but it made sense to move out. And so I think moving out into the city into an apartment, I also then started hiring an internal team to help me produce my content. I think that was kind of like the changing point.
Oh my God.
It's so relatable.
Yeah, I know. I wish I had moved out for something Cardi's like that. But
staring out the window.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Cardi, do you have anything to say to us? No.
Ooh, the sass. That was some side eye.
Yeah, no. Cardi, I have two cats for those listening. Cardi and Doja. I also have a dog, Ernie. Cardi is a British Shorthair. He is too cool for everyone. Doesn't care. I could be gone on a trip for 3 weeks. I'll get home and he'll look at me and be like, oh my God, you're back.
Yeah. Yes, the judgment.
Yeah, my other cat Doge is a kitten. She loves me. Like we cuddle. Like I wake up a lot of mornings, and she literally is like sleeping. So yeah, Doge is lovely. I don't know if she'll visit us during this podcast, but Cardi just judges from a distance.
I love it. That's what my dog, I have a corgi and it's like my whole explore feed is full of corgis because like I hate the look of judgment that she gives me, but I also, I like need it because I need her approval, I think, deep
down. Keeps you humble.
Yeah.
Yes. So, okay. So describe like your, what your arena of food, like how would you describe your sense and style of cooking, what you cook, what you're into? I know you've described it as like comfort before, but how would you describe it to our listeners?
Yeah, I would describe the food I do as kind of comfort food from around the world. You know, for me, you know, I'm not interested in like kind of like the super fancy, like plated, like, you know, haute cuisine, like foams and stuff like that. Like to me, it's just like, I want like good food that you kind of have fun while cooking. You can eat with friends, eat with family, eat by yourself. If you're doing like a solo dinner, and just like have fun in the process. You know, one of my main goals in my videos is, you know, for a lot of people, cooking's a burden. Oh, I need to cook dinner. Oh, I need to make lunch. And I want it to be fun. Cooking should be fun. Cooking should be a way that, you know, you could decompress during the day, maybe like put your phone aside. You know, like my favorite dish that I make myself when I'm doing like a solo dinner night. This sounds so high maintenance. Well, I love wild mushroom risotto. But it really is. It's a great kind of like, I call it like my mental health dinner because, you know, you put your phone away. Risotto needs constant attention and stirring. Yes. And you just like, it's you and the risotto in the kitchen, like relaxing. But, you know, for me, it's just food that, you know, is packed with flavor. I like to take influences from around the world, try foods from around the world. You know, I'll do videos where I'll, you know, attempt to make food from a cuisine I've never tried or, you know, explore different cuisines. But yeah, I would say international comfort food, like food that you just like, you know, want to enjoy with people you love.
Yes. Weren't you just in Greece a couple weeks ago?
Yes, I was just in Greece. And the, I brought back quite a lot of olive oil. I would have brought back feta if it wouldn't have spoiled on the plane. But the, yeah, the food was incredible. It was, they had, like, there was this baked like feta in like some type of like phyllo dough, honey and sesame seeds.
Did we have that, Aaron? So I'm Greek. So. My parents were born in Greece and I got married in Greece this past summer and Aaron was my best man. I think we tried that.
I think we had it.
I feel like we have. I've definitely had
a lot of dough with cheese.
Feta is a big like staple in my life. So.
Yeah. Understandable.
So obviously we kind of mentioned your cookbook, the one behind Aaron. So tell us more the inspiration behind starting your cookbook and then what kind of recipes people can find in the cookbook.
Yeah. So 18th of the World. So I started like writing 18th of the World, at least like in my brain, when I was like pretty young, kind of as soon as I started food blogging when I was 12 years old, you know, I released one recipe every single week on my website. And what I would do is I've always been like a organized freak. I like have like complex Google Drive systems and like, I love organized Google Drive. And, you know, when I develop recipes every Sunday, cause it was like the day of the week I could work on developing recipes. I like, if I developed something that I was like, you know what, this is too good to release for free on the internet on my food blog. I'm like, I'm saving this for a book. And I didn't know if I was going to be writing a book in my 20s and my 30s and my 40s. I was like, one day I'm going to write a cookbook. And like, these recipes are just too good. So I have this folder already of recipes that I've developed since I was like 12 that were like in a cookbook folder. And so when I signed the cookbook deal with Clarkson Potter, I started off with that folder. And, you know, I went through it with my editor and we decided like, okay, like what here's actually good enough to put in the book? What needs more work? Which is most of it, because there were some recipes written by 12-year-old Leighton that I was like, this is barely English. And so we start with that as a baseline and then, you know, kind of saw like, where were the holes in there? Where were other recipes that, you know, food that I've eaten, that I've enjoyed, that, you know, stories I want to tell. And I mean, kind of similar to what I'd said about my general style, I describe the food as comfort food from around the world. You know, I don't claim to be an expert of any cuisine from anywhere else in the world, but I am a like enthusiastic consumer. And so in that, you know, I kind of take the lens of like, hey, I tried this, here's how I made it. You know, this I thought was delicious. Like, try this and I encourage you to keep exploring that cuisine. And you know, with 18th of the World, it was really kind of like a, it was a cool process because it's really like a compilation of recipes like from the past like 6 to 8 years of my like cooking time.
I love that. Do you have any favorites from the book that you could shout out?
That's hard to pick, but one a shout out is definitely my double grilled cheese with blueberry thyme jam.
Oh my gosh.
Stop. I love putting jam on grilled cheese. It's just a like hidden like taste combo.
It's like stupid good. It's so you make this like jam out of blueberries and you steep thyme in it at the end for a little bit of that herbiness. And then the inside, God, I'm blanking on the inside cheese. Wow. It's not Gruyere. I think it's Gruyere. If I'm wrong, you could check the book.
Gruyere, I would put Gruyere on it.
And then the outside, I put American cheese. So I do like mayo, which is like better than butter for grilled cheese. And well, because mayo is just oil and egg.
Yeah, it's true.
And so then you stick the American cheese and you cook it in the pan. And so you have the gooey cheese on the inside and you have crispy, like caramelized cheese on the outside. And
genius.
That sounds so good.
It is.
Genius.
That was fun. And then the only one I have to give a shout out to is the croque.
Madame?
Croque Monsieur. Croque. What did I call it? Croque Monsieur Tuna Melt.
Oh.
Croque Madame Tuna Melt. One of those words. Here's a fun thing to know about cookbooks. So a lot of times, right before you go to print, like you change around some of the names of the recipes. Because once they're in like, you know, in the correct order in the book, you look like, okay, what does this sound like next to the other one? So it's a funny thing when I, you know, was doing the book promotion is like there's certain recipes that like I've called it by one name my whole life.
Yeah.
But in the context of the book, we had to switch its name around a little bit. And I would like to have done like a TV segment for the book. And I like totally said the wrong name of a recipe because like I said the name that like I know it as. So yeah, it's a fun little cookbook fact.
Oh my God, I love it. I guess I'll have to make some blueberries. I have to add the thyme. That's kind of where I fall off on the cooking skill. I would never think to or know how to add the thyme.
Give it a try.
All right. My last question for you is you have your own production company and you have a team, which again is like super slay goals. Just tell us about the company. Like, when did you found it? What does everybody do? And kind of how they all tie into to ultimately your work and the content you create.
Yeah, so Eitan Productions, I found Eitan Productions like in high school and it actually started, I did external productions mostly. And so I was running like 8 social media accounts for different brands and like creating the content for them, releasing it. Some of them would be like partnerships where like they would film and then I'd edit and post.
Yeah.
I would do product photography. I did some like a little bit of web design, different stuff like that. So that was kind of what Eitan Productions started as. And then as my personal brand, Eitan, was growing, I kind of had to shift all gears towards that. And so I brought on culinary producers, video editors, and I also have Noah, who's my chief of staff, who oversees everyone. And then also I have a pretty large external team of like agents and lawyers and stuff like that, that he also oversees. And we focus on like my content. And eventually I'm hoping to, you know, I love doing external clients as well and, you know, kind of be able to use my creative brain in other ways. Mm-hmm. Right now, it just doesn't make sense to do that. And I've scaled down the company a bit recently, just like employee wise, just because in my personal life, I like need to focus a little bit more on my personal life. And it was just growing a company, just take a little bit. And I'm also like 20, like I have time to build it up again.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Eitan Productions focuses on my content right now. And eventually I'll expand again into external clients because I enjoyed that a lot, but just not at the moment.
Yeah, I love it. Yes. Make sure you get self-care.
Did
we watch the gym video? Is that what we watched, Ioana?
I think so.
Going to the gym. We saw one of your videos where you went to the gym and we loved it because we met at a gym. So
wow.
Self-care.
I've been yelled at the gym. I've never met. I tried out a new gym and I liked it. I still am going there. Tried out a new gym and I walked in and I guess I was like half spacing out. I like walked up to this like machine and I didn't see anyone there using it. And I like literally just like touched it. And this guy came up to me and started yelling. He's like, why are you using my machine?
People
are crazy.
Yeah, we don't go for that.
This guy, literally, I think his bicep was double the size of my head. I was like,
it's always the ones like that. Yeah. I swear.
I am a scrawny, like I'm maybe 140 pounds soaking wet, like Come on.
Same.
You're on Sewing Your Own Size. And he's like, you're trying to sensationalize me right now. And I'm like, And he just started yelling at me. And I was just like, I was like, oh yeah, I'm sorry. At first when he said it, I thought he was joking. Cause like, I don't know, it's a gym. It's not that serious. And yeah. I laughed. And then that of course made him a little more angry. But from my standpoint, I was like, oh, like, haha, sorry, wrong machine. I'll use a different machine. Like, this isn't just a gym where you're working out. And yelling at me. And then eventually I just kind of walked away. And then I was like, that is weird. And I didn't know if I was like imagining half of it. And then like four people came up to me and were like, are you okay? It was a lot. I still go to the gym, haven't seen him since, but all that to say, self-care is important, especially if you're not being yelled at in the process.
Yes.
The toxic muscle bro is canceled.
Yeah, no, we hard on that. Oh, it's like literally pick on someone your own size. Like your muscle weight in just your arms is probably more than my entire body weight.
Yep.
So we talked a lot about obviously how you're doing so many things and continuing to grow. Tell us a little bit more about any fun or new exciting plans you have for 2023 and then beyond.
Yeah, so I'm really excited this year. I've been trying to do a lot more kind of lifestyle content. I do obviously food's kind of my primary type of content, but I've been really trying to step out and, you know, try new things. Like I have a series I've been doing, like Get Ready With Me for Friday.
We are hooked on that.
And so that's been fun because I really enjoy fashion. You know, I do like, I haven't done it recently just because I've had a bunch going on, but I like to do like fashion. I do like photography and kind of will post like my outfits, but I want to do more like video fashion content. And I thought that was a fun way to, you know, make it more interesting than just like the clothes I'm wearing. And so that's been a fun series. Although it makes me think, because for those listening, in like the thing I talk about, like trying to find a nice Jewish girl. And the thing I'm realizing though, is like, once I have some success, like I don't want like to ruin it by talking about it on my Instagram. So here's the thing. I am very bad in that department. So I'll have time before I reach that problem. so that's a later issue. But yeah, it's been a really fun series to do. So I'm doing that. I did some content with my garden and, you know, travel this year. I was, I'm really excited for. Last year I did some great travel and content around that, whether it was like India, different places I went to. So I have a really cool travel thing coming up. I can't really, hate to be that person. I can't talk about it yet. But something very cool, a place I've never been, a whole continent I've never been, that I'm really excited. I'm doing a cool documenting thing there. But yeah, I think just like stepping out of my comfort zone is something I'm trying this year, you know, try new formats and see what people are interested in, because you know, I do more things than just cook. And so yeah, I'm really excited about that this year. And yeah, just like trying new things. I think the cool thing about working in social media, it's also an annoying thing, but it's also a cool thing if thinking about it positively, is, you know, the platforms change so much so
fast. Yes, it's crazy.
And it's kind of like you're like feeding, you know, like you have to feed the platform's content.
Yes.
It's almost like feeding a toddler who every day likes a new food. You're like, like, come on. You're like, please, you're like, yesterday you liked this. Why don't you like it today? So it, that could be annoying, but I also try to be positive about it. And I think that, you know, it kind of keeps you on your toes and, you know, forces you to try new things. And so, you know, even with the cooking content, I've been trying new formats with that, you know, seeing what sticks. Like recently I did like a series on, I've been a series on Facebook. I'm posting some on TikTok of them, of like trying out celebrity diets for 24 hours. Like I did Gwyneth Paltrow's diet, which basically consists of sipping on various liquids.
I was going to say, I was using liquids.
Not much food.
And so that's been fun. So yeah, I think interesting, you know, stepping out of my comfort zone, trying new things is something I'm really excited about. And, you know, I'm turning 21. Actually, when this comes out, I'll be 21, probably April 25th.
Oh my God.
So, you know, I'm aging up. so I think, you know, hopefully we can start maybe doing like cocktail content. So I've lots of stuff in the brain I'm excited to do in the next year.
Yay. I love it. So exciting. All right, we end every episode with a round of rapid fire. We also have some New York City this or that incorporated into your game. Mm-hmm. And we have, it looks like 9 or 10 questions for you. And we just kind of want your first gut instinct answer.
I'm ready.
All right, Ioana, take it away.
Okay, New York bagel or New York style pizza?
Pizza. I'm more of a pizza person than a bagel person, which I know doesn't make sense because I'm Jewish, but it is.
All right. If you are, you're walking through or maybe leaving Central Park, are you going to stop for Nuts for Nuts or a Mr. Softy?
Nuts for Nuts.
Good, same.
Yeah. Okay. If you had to choose plain New York style cheesecake or New York style cheesecake with berries.
I'm not the biggest cheesecake person, but I would choose with berries. Because I may pick off the berries and just eat those. And if I'm going to be really honest, I'll eat the berries and the crust.
Ooh, that's actually smart. Yeah. All right. For a black and white cookie, if you were going to eat one side of it, would you eat the black side or the white side?
I would eat both in the middle.
Oh. I love these answers.
Okay. Do you prefer Midtown or Downtown?
Downtown.
Any particular reason?
Most of my friends live downtown, so geographically closer to the people I like spending time with.
Yeah. Ioana, you were downtown, right?
I was kind of.
East side or west side?
East side. Okay. I'm big on the east side. I like the east side.
Same. Favorite Broadway show?
I've seen Wicked a bunch of times. Incredible show. I also really like Lion King.
Ooh, yes.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Oh, an underrated one, and maybe it's underrated. I don't know what it's called, but it's the one about the town on 9/11 where like a plane
started there. Oh God.
It was just canceled.
Is it almost Maine? Am I crazy? No.
It was like my mom told me about it. I was like, all right, like we went with the grandmas. So I was like, okay, nothing that crazy. And we went and I was like ready to cry at the end. It was so good. Long Way From Home, maybe.
Oh my God. What is, oh, Come From Away.
Yep.
I sobbed uncontrollably.
Yeah. Like it was just like, it was just one of those like shows that was like, it was just like a feel good, like life is good show.
Yes. I sobbed, but I left really, really happy and loving life.
Yeah, agreed. So that would be, I think that, like, it's just, I mean, it's canceled, so I guess this isn't helpful to the Broadway show that's still on, Lion King and Wicked.
Okay, you walk into a New York City bodega. What three things do you buy?
That's a good question. I would buy the cat if I could. probably a water. I'm a water man. They have a chocolate, would they have like a packaged croissant, maybe? I like croissants. And chocolate, I don't know if bodegas, like chocolate, you know, like the flips, they're like chocolate covered pretzels.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if every bodega would have it, maybe, but any pretzel item with chocolate would be ideal.
So good. Love it.
But the cat, ideally.
Yeah.
Okay. So you would trade the other three items for the cat.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Definitely. my ideal number of pets, like, I think like once I'm married, because I feel like having too many pets as a single person could scare people off. Yes. I already have two cats and a dog, so that's enough. No, I'm not enough. Excuse me. Good amount. My ideal in my life, I want 5 cats and 4 dogs I like family. Yeah.
How many kids do you want?
3. Oh. So more dogs than kids.
That's good. That's a good
answer. That's manageable. I feel like that's good.
Yeah, that's fine.
But like the dogs, you don't have to pay for school and like they don't need
much.
So, yeah. And they can't talk back to you.
Yep.
Okay. If you could cook a dish for Aaron, what would it be?
I'm trying to think what I think you would like. I feel like, I want to give a good answer, not a bad answer. Do you like salmon?
No.
I had a good salmon dinner. Do you like pasta?
Yes.
Okay. Do you like mushrooms?
Depends.
What type do you like?
If I will eat them if they're in like a sauce. Ooh. But I wouldn't eat them in like a salad.
That knocks out. Do you like the Mediterranean food?
Yes.
Okay, then what am I gonna make? Do you eat meat and like,
yes.
Okay, good. Okay, one of my go-tos, it's like great. I would make a homemade hummus with a like tamarind like spiced meat crumble over top. Really good. It actually, there's a recipe like that in my cookbook because I'm very passionate about this one. And with some like really good pita and Greek olive oil over it. I brought back a lot of Greek olive oil. It's so good. hefty sprinkle of za'atar, like a fresh like cucumber tomato salad.
Yeah.
That sounds so good.
Yeah. I feel like that would be a good dinner.
Yay. My God, someone needs to make that for me now.
I know. No pressure.
If you cook a good dish for Ioana, what would it be?
I would be intimidated to cook you Greek food, but I feel like I'd want to test out what I learned while I was in Greece. So I feel like I want to know, am I doing it right? So I feel like I would cook like a Greek meal and like bring a notebook with like ready for criticism. So I would definitely make the baked feta, obviously like a Greek salad. Yeah. I would make, maybe I would do, trying to go back in my brain. Oh, of course, fava. Mm-hmm. I haven't made that since I got back. I need to work on that. And what else did I eat? Oh my God. My brain's like shutting down for what I ate. Those things and a few other Greek items.
That's
like,
perfect.
And then I would be ready for all the notes of how to improve.
I feel like I need to improve my Greek cooking. My mom is like the ultimate.
We could bring her as a plus one.
Yeah. She would be very
honest.
Honest. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. We'll bring her and then I'll get the lowdown on what I need to improve on.
Okay. My last rapid fire question. We're going to be in New York this weekend. So do you have a New York City restaurant recommendation for us?
Any cuisine or type or just
anything. Like one of your favorite places.
Anything. Okay. My favorite Italian place, it is a bit pricey. It's kind of more of like an occasion restaurant, is Res Dora. It's like a Michelin star, like Italian restaurant. Ooh. It is the best Italian food I have ever had outside of Italy. It's like a culinary experience. Like the first time I ate there and I tried the food, I was like, okay, like this isn't just like ordering pasta at like a random restaurant. Like this is like a full on experience. I have literally never had anything there that I didn't like. It is like magical. It is a bit pricey. So it's like, you know, not like for an everyday dinner, but for an occasion. It's like dreamy.
Ooh, we'll have to try it, Aaron.
I know.
Very hard to get a reservation. You can get seated.
I'm literally checking right now.
Yeah, you get seated. So what I recommend, it's very hard to get a reservation there. But the bar is first come, first serve. So it opens up at like 5-ish. So if you can go around 5 or 5:30, you can get on, you can either like go in for early dinner or you can like get on the list. But you can also just walk in. Like usually if you're one or two people, like the wait, unless you go like prime time, the wait should be less than like 20, 30 minutes.
Oh, that's not bad.
Oh my God.
We'll have to walk in, Aaron.
We will.
Yeah.
We'll walk in.
Yeah. Get ready to spend like $150, but like, you know.
It was recommended by you. So that's the
occasion. Yeah. Yeah. It's an early birthday dinner. If one of your birthdays is in the next 6 months, just use it as that.
We'll celebrate your birthday for
you.
Yeah. Perfect.
I love it. All right. Our last question. We are a cocktail hour themed podcast. So we typically ask what people's favorite drink is, but we will ask you, what is the first drink you are going to have on your 21st birthday?
That is a good answer. Not good answer. Wow.
already had the drink, clearly.
What is the first? I want to go to like a very fancy, like New York City, like bar. Yes.
Get a mixologist to make you a good drink.
I mean, I like wine, but like being Jewish, like wine, drinking wine's like a religious thing. Don't come for me, police. I want to try. I'm just going to go for it. I want to try a just martini, just dive right into that. Cause I don't think I'll like it. So I feel like right when I turn 21, like I could start like trying to like it.
Yeah. We're trying to like martinis as well.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a long game of rough.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like going from liking sweet food to like liking a more like rich, refined palate as you're older. Like it takes a long time.
Yeah.
You got to season the skillet.
Yeah. So I feel like I got to start like wetting my palate, if you will.
Yeah.
So I'll report back.
I love it. Sweet. All right, tell everyone where they can find you online, follow you, and where they can get your cookbook.
Yes, you can find me anywhere on social media, at Eitan, E-I-T-A-N. On Facebook and Twitter, it's my full name, at Eitan Bernath, B-E-R-N-A-T-H. You can find me, my cookbook anywhere books are sold, Barnes & Noble, Amazon, your local bookstore, and it's Eitan Eats the World, and it's full of, like, 85. I almost said 75, but it's 85. 85 delicious recipes. And yeah, you can find me on the Drew Barrymore Show as well. And maybe at Res Dora, but maybe don't look for me.
Yay. Awesome. Well, thank you very much for chatting with us. We will definitely have to check in with you again in the future to see what you are cooking up next, and perhaps we will run into you on the streets of New York, because we do frequent the city.
Yes, maybe do a check-in in a year. I'll have more cocktail related things to discuss.
Yes, you'll have a year to sample it up.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to Sip With Me with Ioana and Aaron. If you like our show and want to know more, check out our website, sipwithme.org. There you can find our themed cocktail book, as well as other exciting Sip With Me content.
And if you love our podcast, don't forget to leave a review on Apple Podcasts and follow our podcasting adventures on Instagram @sipwithme_.